Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for tuning in to the Biz Ninja Radio Show. I want to thank you for listening, whether you're listening on terrestrial radio here in Southern California, whether you're streaming live on some wonderful internet device, or if it's just the only station playing in some truck stop in Pittsburgh. My name is Tyler Jorgensen, and I am the Biz Ninja, and this is the Biz Ninja Show on ABC News Radio, KMET, 1490 AM. Today, we have an awesome guest, and we're going to talk about the concept of being scrappy in business. One of the things that I often have been thinking about recently in terms of business is that tenacity that it takes to keep going and to keep struggling and to keep fighting to reach your goals. And every time I think about that, we can't talk about being scrappy to reach your goals if you don't have goals. And so the first thing today, as the only homework assignment I'm giving you this week, is to make sure you have set some specific goals for where you want to be and what you want to accomplish in the next day, 7 days, 30 days, 3 months, and a year. Now, go 5 years if you want, do all those longer term goals. But I think a lot of people are great at setting long-term goals and forget that it's the little daily steps that you take, the scrappiness to win, that help you to actually achieve those goals. And so today I want you to really think about goals as we talk about, as I interview our guest, and we talk about being scrappy, because there's always that scrappy person who's going to do whatever it takes to reach their goal. And sometimes we look and we see that and we feel like somebody else has achieved something, and maybe you feel it's luck. But I think it's true what they say, that luck is simply when opportunity meets preparation. I think if we are prepared and if we're looking for it and if we're going out and getting it and fighting for it, that luck happens to us all the time. And so I'm excited about today's show. I've been reflecting a lot on past shows from back in 2011 and 2012. And I've been looking at old interviews and notes from old interviews. And I'm just amazed at what this show has done and who we've been able to talk to. We have some really cool interviews lined up for the next couple of weeks. It's just going to keep getting better. And we've got an amazing event that's going to be coming up in November that I'm hoping to be able to tell you more about real soon. So there's a lot of cool stuff happening here in the Biz Ninja Dojo. So sit back and relax, and let's dive into this next interview. All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome out to the Biz Ninja Show. A wonderful author of the New York Times best-selling book, Scrappy, Terry. And Terry, how do you say your last name? Is it Sjodin? Jodin?
Right, it's Swedish. It's pronounced Sjodin.
And it actually Dean, just came out. Actually a, close.
A bestseller, yeah, but you know, from your lips to God's ears.
Hey, I believe it'll happen. I've read a little bit about your book so far. I'm excited to get it and read it. You're a Southern California person like myself, so I was actually just out there in Newport Beach, and I think that's where you come from.
But that is where I am when I'm here. Absolutely.
So the book is called Scrappy, a little book about choosing to play big. Now, most of our listeners are entrepreneurs, and so they tend to think big. But what I have found is that there's so many different paradigms to what big means.
Sure.
So what is big in
gosh, that's such a great question. So how the whole book kind of came together for me was it was a spinoff, spinoff from Small Message, Big Impact, which did hit the New York Times bestseller list. And oh, cool. In that book, we actually talked about the importance of crafting more clear, concise, and compelling messages. Well, what ultimately happened was there's a specific chapter within that book that kind of talked about how do we find the most desirable listeners? How do we find the people who are in control of making the decisions that will help us to get wherever it is that we want to go? So to answer the question, what is big, big is whatever is big for you. If it's your very first job interview and you want to get access to the most important hiring manager, then that could be a big play for you. But if you're an investor and you're looking to get somebody to, you know, provide funding for your next big play, that's going to be big for you. So big really has range. And ultimately what we found is, yes, of course it's important to have a great message, but if you can't access those desirable listeners, then you could have the greatest presentation in the world, but it won't help. And so Scrappy is really that partner book to Small Message, Big Impact. It's a narrative which talks about not only the small efforts, medium efforts, and large efforts that people have basically enacted in order to gain access to the most desirable listeners. And then finally, and most importantly, it also shows how you can make an effort before, in the middle of, or after a contact in order to actually make a definitive impression. So there's a lot of range to getting scrappy and earning the right to be heard, but that's basically the backstory on it.
Well, I like the kind of the two things you said there, and we'll speak about big quick first. I think you're right. I think big, it does have so many different definitions, and it's different and unique for each person. And I think the first thing for anybody is to say, what is that big, scary, audacious step for me? And be able to define a goal around that and not get stuck in the fear of not moving. How, you know, when somebody is scrappy, I think, you know, the first thing is that we think of when someone's scrappy is that they take on something that seems insurmountable, and they take on something that other people maybe thought was either impossible or too difficult. Your book cover with the boxing gloves, you know, I picture the little boxer, the underdog. And you talk in some of your bullet points, you talk about cultivating your best ideas. How do you, you know, if somebody has been stuck, and you know, I know a lot of people, they have an idea at one point, but they never quite take action. How do you go from taking or from being stuck to taking that first big step and first start being scrappy?
Yeah, no, it's a great question. So let me try to answer that from two perspectives. You know, initially, you know, what does it really mean to be scrappy? And I think that it really speaks to being full of fighting spirit. It's synonymous with having moxie, being feisty, enthusiastic, gutsy, and kind of spunky. One of my favorite definitions comes from the Urban Dictionary, which describes a scrappy person as someone who's little but can really kick some ass. And I like that one too. But when you're scrappy, you have the determination of a street fighter. You work smarter. You're willing to work harder when you need to and to take risks and to play big no matter what the obstacles. So the word scrappy kind of embodies all a mix of all of these traits plus that gumption to take action. Now, part two of that answer would be, you know, well, I can't pinpoint the very first time I heard the word, I do recall becoming aware of this notion to do something, to stand out from other people who were going after the same opportunities I wanted. And I remember very specifically being in my very first sales job, and I just kept getting blocked. I kept hearing all the no's, and you know, no, you can't gain access. No, we're already working with somebody else. No, we already have a provider. No, we're not interested, right? And after a while, you start to feel the power of that rejection, which I think is what you're talking about. And fortunately, I was with a group of friends, and we had gone to the movies to see that classic film, Wall Street, where Bud Fox, played by Charlie Sheen, is going to meet with Gordon, or wants to have access to Gordon Gekko, right? He says to himself, look, I need to bag an elephant. I need to get a really big client. So he decides, after hearing all those no's, that he's going to make a scrappy play. Then he calls Gordon Gekko's office for 59 days in a row. He finds out when his birthday is, and he shows up on his office doorstep with a box of Gordon Gekko's favorite cigars. He schmoozes the secretary, and he gets his shot. And, you know, while he got his shot, I got the lesson. And in that moment, I thought, what can I do? What can I do that's just a little bit different, a little bit off the grid, keep it classy and scrappy, but what can I do that's different? And that's really when it kind of all started for me. So I've been executing little scrappy efforts for about almost 25 years. Some are big plays, some are medium-sized plays, and some are more larger plays. And so the final answer, and this is like a big workaround to your beautiful question, is, you know, how do you deal with all of that fear and anxiety? You know, at first you have to decide you're going to go. Secondly, you have to figure out who your target is. And finally, and most importantly, you kind of have to ignore all of those, you know, objections that we put in our own minds that prevent us from kind of taking action. And I think the beauty of Scrappy is that it shows you how you can make a classy, elegant, scrappy play without being disruptive or off-putting.
You know, I think sometimes scrappy can be mistaken for sloppy. And I don't think that's the case. I think, right, I think you have to define a goal. You have to really know and make, like you said, you have to make that decision to go after it. But I think sometimes people can mistake that scrappy mentality for just doing it without any forethought or without any, I think, would you agree that it's more about ignoring the negatives or ignoring all of the reasons why not to do it, but not going into something or going after something without any strategy?
Right. No, I see a scrappy maneuver as somebody who comes up with a clever workaround.
Right.
And so, you know, one of the questions that often comes up is like, you know, what's the difference between being scrappy and being persistent?
Sure.
And I would say to them, well, nothing irritates the persistent person more than the scrappy person who comes up with a clever idea and flies right by them. Right. It's a play to help you get where you want to go faster. And I think a lovely illustration of that that everybody can appreciate can come from this young Girl Scout that really made a huge play and reaped great rewards. Now, I was a Girl Scout, and you know, back in my day, you know, you'd get the order form, you'd go door to door, you'd try to get your neighbors to, you know, pre-order cookies. You'd submit your order form into the troop leader, and hopefully you're going to sell 100 boxes of cookies. Like, that's the goal, right? If you sell 100 boxes of cookies, you get the badges, you get the patches, you make money for your troop, everybody's happy. And I was persistent. I knocked on the doors, I took the orders, and then I went back out and had to deliver the cookies. Sometimes people aren't home, sometimes they change their mind, and trust me, it's not easy to move 100 boxes of cookies. Now, fast forward to about 2 years ago now, I'm reading this amazing article in the Los Angeles Times about a young gal named Danielle Lay, and she and her mother decided that they were going to bypass that entire rigmarole, and they actually just set up a Girl Scout cookie stand in front of a legal marijuana pot distribution center in Northern California, and they moved 117 boxes in 2 hours. They saved a ton of time. She didn't have to knock on a bunch of doors. She didn't have to deal with returns. If people wanted more cookies, she could provide them. And I thought to myself, oh my gosh, that was scrappy, right? Because again, nothing irritates that persistent person more than the scrappy person who comes up with a clever idea and finds a workaround. Now, I appreciate the fact that I'm sure that the Girl Scouts do not want young ladies all standing in front of, you know, pot shops. But I think you get the point here. And that's, again, that kind of difference between being scrappy and merely just being persistent. Although I think they live on a similar continuum. I think there's a beautiful marriage between being scrappy and persistent that takes place over time.
Well, and I think sometimes that the scrappy person is persistent in the face of failure, persistent in the face of adversity. But they're not necessarily going to keep doing the exact same thing. I think somebody who is scrappy is going to constantly be evolving their plans and strategies based on a little bit of a different spirit. You talk about the pillars of scrappiness, and the first one being attitude. So we've talked a little bit about thinking bigger and getting out of your own way. I think we've talked about that a little bit already. But how does somebody who's scrappy embrace failure?
Yeah, I mean, the really cool thing about pulling off a scrappy maneuver is that you can have failed several times before, but then you pull off some kind of scrappy move and it works. And it's almost redemptive, right? Like, it's almost like nothing else mattered because all people remember is that your scrappy move worked. And again, how do we get past it? You know, I do believe that we all have these, what I call socially acceptable excuses, where we might even say, oh, I've tried that before, but it didn't work. Or I applied there and I never heard anything. It was crickets. Or, I went after that client and I got completely shut down. They went with my competitor. And so then people will say to us, oh, well, that's okay. You tried. At least you tried. And so we kind of have these socially acceptable excuses that just allow us to go, well, we tried once or twice, and so we might as well let it go. And the scrappy person says, yeah, I'm just going to try one more time. But this time I'm going to come up with a clever workaround, and I'm not going to go through the front door. And sometimes that's the effort that shakes things loose and makes things happen. It doesn't always happen right away. Sometimes it does. Sometimes you have a beautiful scrappy play and it gets you access. Sometimes you won't see the results for 2 or 3 weeks. Sometimes it's 2 or 3 months. I mean, I'm sure that for every business owner who's listening to this, they have prospects who they have been courting and trying to work with for maybe some of them 2, 3 years. And then finally, one little thing that you do kind of pushes them over the edge. So, you have to really think of scrappy efforts as being a cumulative effect. Some actions will be short-term plays, but again, always keeping the long game in mind.
I think that's fantastic. I think I really like that term, socially acceptable excuses. If I like it, I mean, I hate it at the same time. Because, as an entrepreneur, we hear those all the time from people. There's all the reasons why something that they have tried, an idea that they've had won't work, or what's held them back from actually doing it, when really it's just their commitment to themselves of actually doing it and taking the first step and going after it. And it's amazing how many times excuses just get embraced by society and are okay. When at the same time, there's almost a discouragement from general society to do things new and unique and in an interesting way. One thing that you mentioned about failure and that we have to be willing to fail. I read somewhere that there's lots of quotes on failure, and one that basically says, if you've never failed, or if every one of your ideas has been a success, then you're not playing big enough, because you're not pushing the bounds far enough to know if any of your ideas are actually transformative or revolutionary. And what's interesting is that sometimes there are groundbreaking entrepreneurs like Elon Musk. But for every one of those guys, there's thousands of guys that are really just making small changes and small moves compared to that, but are still huge compared to the guy who isn't taking a single step. And so I think that the spirit of scrappiness, at least from what I'm getting from you, is taking where you're at now and saying, okay, defining where you want to be next, and be willing to get creative in making that next step happen. What are some other examples of people that have just really embraced scrappiness to take the next step?
Yeah, well, so throughout the book, what I wanted to do was just to interview people from a variety of different backgrounds and industries, because I don't think it's always a money play, right? Sometimes it is, for a professional advancement, but sometimes people have personal reasons. Some people just have a conviction. And to speak to, what you were just discussing about failure, Jim Carrey had a beautiful quote where he said that you can fail at what you don't want, so you might as well take a chance on doing what you love. And right. I think that that's one of the through lines of every single scrappy effort that we can talk about. So I think, just kind of listening to your question and thinking about the perfect example, and I think it's probably my friend Stephen Schuschler, who most people are not familiar with Stephen's name, but they're probably very familiar with his famous restaurant chain, the Rainforest Cafes. And when Stephen had initially decided to create the Rainforest Cafes, he had these beautiful storyboards, and he went out and pitched it and tried to get investors, and everybody shut him down. They're like, oh, it's too elaborate, it's not going to work. And so then he created these models, and he thought if they could really get a visual sense of what he was trying to create, then that would help. And so he created these beautiful models and set up presentation after presentation, and nothing. He just could not get investors. And so at that point, people would have probably said, okay, this isn't going to fly. But Stephen just said, no, heck no, I am all in. Like, I really believe in this. And so he took every last penny he had, and he converted his suburban home outside of Minneapolis, Minnesota, and took the entire house and converted it into a prototype for a rainforest cafe. I mean, we're talking complete with waterfalls, jungles, monkeys, like you name it. And he was at one point pulling so much energy and electricity off the grid that the DEA allegedly came to his house thinking that he might have had a meth lab inside. And ultimately what they found was a prototype for a rainforest cafe. But because he was all in, you know, he was able to bring investors to his home. And when they saw with their own eyes, it was almost like that Walt Disney effect. When they saw what he was trying to create, then they could say, even if they thought it was a risky play, they knew he was all in. And because he was so scrappy and all in, he got his first investor. They created the first one. It then became a franchise. And at the point where he sold it, and it was considered the most successful themed restaurant chain in history. He then sold it to Lowry's, and now Stephen has these beautiful warehouses where he does nothing but create countless restaurant themes that he sold to Disney. And I mean, it's absolutely astonishing. But again, that was a consistent scrappy effort after several failures, right? But he definitely stayed the course and did some really scrappy things that the average individual, the average human being would not be willing to do. But I think it speaks to your question and your issue about how do we get to that mindset? How do we get past fear? And I think that what Jim Carrey said is true. You know, you can fail at what you don't want to do, so you might as well take a chance on doing what you love.
Absolutely. Might as well, you know, take that risk, right? You can either sit back and let things pass and still have things not work out, or you go after it. And, you know, I think part of that, like you said, is knowing what the goal is, knowing what your vision is, and having that, thinking bigger, like you said. I really like your pillars of scrappiness. And so we've talked a little bit about the first one, talked a little bit about the second one, about, you know, what you just talked about, keeping the long game in mind, really having the long-term ability
strategy,
absolutely. Those first failures. And then the third pillar of scrappiness is a little bit more about, you call it the go phase. Tell me a little bit about the execution.
Right. So, let's say you've got the right mindset and you've kind of decided that second pillar, which is, you know, strategy. What's my strategy going to be? What I really wanted people to understand as I did just in researching the book, and I think that was one of the biggest awakenings for me, is, look, when you hear all of the different ideas, when you hear all of the different strategies that people executed, the goal is not to copy or to replicate those actions, but rather to go, okay, I'm not going to do this, but I would do this. Or I'm not going to do that, but I would try something like this. And you kind of start to assess what your own risk tolerance is and what your comfort level is.
Sure.
And then you ultimately have to execute. You know, you really have to go. And sometimes people just get so stuck in the strategy phase, tinkering and tinkering and tinkering, that they just never go. And so that execution piece is really at the, you know, there comes a time where you just have to go, all right, it doesn't have to be perfect to work.
Yeah,
and so that's what I spend a lot of time on. It's just spending, you know, having people look at all the illustrations and examples, and then just say, look, let's figure out how to morph this for you, for your circumstances, for your dream, for, you know, your environment, and be sure to be cautious and make sure that whatever you construct will be received beautifully by the person who you're trying to impress or dazzle. You know, we don't want to do something that's disruptive just for the sake of being disruptive. We want to do something that makes people go, oh my gosh, that was clever. And that's really what I think makes, you know, this the nature of being scrappy just really tangible. I don't name drop. It's not stories of a bunch of super famous people. It's about extraordinary, ordinary people who have done very cool things and gotten where they wanted to go.
I think there's two quotes that I really like that both came up when you were talking about that. One is like the issue of analysis paralysis, where people, they get stuck worrying about every single detail. There is a point where my second favorite, you know, quote in this topic comes in, which is done is better than perfect. There is a point where you've got to go, because otherwise you can sit there perfecting, you know, the perfect thing or the perfect strategy or the perfect scrappy step that never happens because you're too stuck just waiting for it to be perfect. And so eventually you've just got to pull the trigger. You've got to take that step. You know, if you're being scrappy, you got to just step into the boxing ring. Eventually there's just a point where it's time to make it happen and execute.
There's a great illustration from a young man named Steven Varela, and he was with Disney as an Imagineer. And he was looking to make a career move because he really wanted to move out of LA. And so he decided he wanted to go apply for a position with Wizards of the Coast, which is a video gaming company. And here's a guy with an amazing resume, an amazing background, you know, already has a great job. But he knows if he wants to get a job at Wizards of the Coast and make that kind of a leap, he's going to have to get really creative. And so he designs this absolutely unbelievable, elaborate delivery system to get his resume to the CEO of the company. But before he executed, he went to all of his colleagues and friends, and he said, "This is what I want to do. This is how it's going to play out." And he ran it by his friends because he wanted to use them as a litmus test first. Mm-hmm. And they actually said to him, "Oh my gosh, this is so amazing. If you don't do this, we're going to be disappointed in you." So that gave him that confidence to go, "Okay, look, I've thought it through. Here's my plan. Here's what I'm going to do. I ran it by my people, and they're telling me if I don't do it, like, it's a mistake." So I think that there's a moment where once you figure out what you're going to do, you want to do some checks and balances, assess your risk tolerance, make sure it's a good plan, and then launch. And that way, you know, whatever happens, either you could launch and you win, you get the win, yay, or you could launch and it just flatlines, nothing happens, but you're probably not going to get any negative circumstances. I mean, if you think it through beautifully, it's either going to flatline and do nothing, or you're going to get the win, but it's very rare you're going to get a negative result if you make your best play and you really thought it through when you run it by some other people.
You know, it's true. You get some feedback, you refine it a little bit, and eventually you've just got to make it happen. Terry, I really appreciate the spirit of scrappiness and what you're sharing with us that from your book, Scrappy, a little book about choosing to play big. Tell us a little bit real quick as we wrap up here, where people can find out more about you and about the book, where they can order, all that kind of stuff.
Oh, thank you. Well, the book is available in bookstores nationwide. It was just released, so thank you for having me on your show. Of course, you can visit www.scrappy-thebook.com, so scrappy-thebook.com. And, of course, like I said, Barnes & Noble, Amazon. It's also available on audio CD, and we have a Scrappy Book Club where you can, you know, kind of visit the blog and see other things that people are doing and executing. And I think that the whole spirit of the book is just to, you know, hopefully inspire people through the stories and illustrations of others to take action on their dream and really just kind of give it a shot, right? We all have wishes, dreams, and hopes for the future. But as the old proverb suggests, you can wish, dream, hope, and pray. But when you pray, move your feet. And I think that's really what Scrappy.
Terry Schoedien just taught us about something that I think is really powerful for anybody who wants to be a successful entrepreneur. And that's how to stop accepting or using socially acceptable excuses. That, out of anything, was my big takeaway, because there's so many little things that we do or that we fail to do because people have decided that it's okay not to do them. It's okay not to write thank you letters anymore. It's okay not to be persistent and try to get and overcome obstacles in business because things are hard these days. So today, now I want you to commit to yourself that you're actually going to do it. Thank you for listening to the Biz Ninja Radio Show. This is your host, Tyler Jorgensen, saying go out and do something.